Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
It seems like the NFL is trying to use Jay-Z's immense cultural capital to get back in with a community that frankly feels a little ambivalent about them because of the way that they treated Colin Kaepernick.
Kneeling was not about a job. It was about injustice. Let me bring attention to injustice.
Dale Arnold.
What a hoodie at?
I mean, I graded out 99%. One pump return rep.
I know the guy was real fast. And I went 100%.
Rich Keith.
You have cowboy boots?
Oh, hell no.
They're sort of impractical here.
And you looked funny.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, South Riding, Virginia. Not only beat the Little Leaguers from Rhode Island in the Little League World Series.
How'd they do it?
They no-hit them.
Oh, interesting.
3-0 was the final score.
Those of us that are prone to maybe a cynical eye might say it's interesting that a team that was accused of stealing signs just got no hit, maybe when they didn't know what pitch was coming.
Oh, that's a very good point there.
Interesting.
Or maybe the kid that was pitching for what team was it?
South Riding, Virginia.
South Riding, Virginia was just that much better than everybody else and just was blowing it by him.
It's that much harder when you don't know what's coming. Remember, that was the argument people used to use against the Patriots, except then the Patriots kicked ass, took names, and
right.
won.
Well, right. Yeah, a lot.
That solves that issue.
Well, it's also harder, too, when the pitcher is 6'2 and he's throwing 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, but they were all competitive Little League World Series-level teams. It's funny. You got called out on what you may or may not have been doing. Allegedly. I'm going to stick with allegedly.
That one team looks pretty big. What's it, the team with the international team? They wear the blue uniforms.
Is that Curacao?
Curacao.
Boy, am I glad I didn't say what.
Yes.
Because that's not how I was going to say it.
Yeah, I was like,
did I say it wrong?
No, you probably said it right. Okay. I probably would have
like,
said it wrong.
I was like, C, and I knew there was a C, U, and a C, and a Q in there. I wasn't even on a shot. But that team looks pretty. Have you seen them?
Yes. Play? Well, that's like, because the international teams, I always question birth certificates.
All right, let's get back to our discussion about the next coach of the Patriots. Now,
give your four options again.
My four options, and I've only got four. It may be somebody else, but I'm giving for the sake of our discussion. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be here. But anyway, here's your four candidates. Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniel, Mike Vrabel, Gerard Mayo. The next coach of the Patriots is going to come from that pool of four candidates. You made a great point. I hate saying that. You made a great point during the commercial.
Should
break.
Say it more often. Now that we're in the noon o'clock
so
hour,
frequently
the noon o'clock hour.
You made
to
the
you.
Point that it's not Bill Belichick who's going to be selecting this guy.
No, it may not even be Robert Kraft.
Well, it will be a Kraft, Robert or Jonathan, whoever it is. You know, we don't know how long in the future this is going to be. We don't know how much Robert Kraft is still going to be day to day operating the franchise. Maybe Jonathan has replaced him by that point. It will be a Kraft picking the next coach of the Patriots.
Correct. And that's why when, you know, Tom Curran's been hot on this whole Mayo's the next head coach of the Patriots in a couple of years, whatever. How did Gerard Mayo get here this offseason? My guess is Bill Belichick hired him to his defensive staff.
I think that's a real good guess. Yes.
I don't think Robert Kraft hired him and said, Bill, this guy's the next head coach. He's going to spend 3 years with you, and then he's the head. This was a Bill hire.
Right.
So maybe Robert loves Gerard Mayo. Maybe Jonathan loves Gerard Mayo. I think they really like him. I think he's a well-respected guy from the player to the community guy to all of that.
Yes.
That doesn't
What's
mean...
What's not to like.
Right, but that doesn't mean they want him as the next head coach, and that doesn't mean that he's here to be groomed to be the next head coach. If anybody's here circumstantially to be groomed to be the next head coach, it's Josh McDaniels, right?
Yes, he's the guy.
Because when Josh McDaniels was about to be announced as the HC of the IND, he sat down with Bill Belichick and... The
Kraft,
right? So
And got a new deal.
And got a new deal, and no one knows exactly what was said and promised and not promised.
Because they're real good at keeping stuff in-house. Right. We don't even know how long, we don't know how much.
Right, it seems like he probably got a long-term deal that was relatively lucrative and may or may not, now they have denied it, may or may not have included a wink, wink, a nod, promise. Nod, yes. whatever, yeah. of you're the replacement, you're the next in line. But if there's anybody who's the next in line and the Crafts are in on it, it's McDaniels, it's not Mayo.
Right.
And here's the issue. And I agree with you. I think Josh, on this list, I think Josh McDaniel is the next head coach of the Patriots. I agree with you.
But?
He's got to get over one little hurdle for us.
Well, you know, Dale, we look past the negatives.
This is the guy who traded up to take Tim Tebow.
Well, it was a learning.
To be his franchise quarterback. I mean, I think Josh McDaniel has done incredible things here as the offensive coordinator. He's got a really good quarterback who's made that easier.
Yeah.
He thought that guy was going to be a franchise quarterback?
Well, Dale, think about it.
I saw that guy throw here, and I thought, I throw the ball better than him.
Well, we've all, hey, listen, you can go back into our past and say, if I could have that one back,
right.
I would take it back. And I think Josh McDaniels is probably going, oh, if I could have one thing back,
the only problem
more than a Super Bowl would be to not draft Tebow in the first round.
The only problem with that theory is, why did Tim Tebow come to New England?
Because presumably Josh McDaniel went to bat
so
for him.
So he hadn't realized yet.
Well, he hadn't realized
that was a mistake.
Sometimes it
and
takes.
And I pictured Bill Belichick in some meeting room down at Gillette saying, why do you want to bring him in here?
Well, you know, sometimes it takes
you
time.
You realize it yet? Have you seen it
after
now?
After about two practices, he probably said, Josh, you know he can't throw,
it takes
right?
time for you to learn from your mistakes. I mean, we've seen that before.
But you don't want to judge someone on their worst mistake, their weakest moment. Right, Dale? Didn't one of the presidents recently say that in a speech? Don't judge us on our worst mistake.
Josh McDaniels.
Like that time, Dale, when you decided all your friends were swimming out to the raft in the deep water.
I'm just
and you
go.
Said, I can't swim, but I'm going to try to stay with them. Should I judge you on that? Your judgment is that
it was poor judgment.
Right.
Okay.
So, we can't look at Dale and go, hey, that's the reason why you are who you are. We say, hey, it was a mistake that you made and you learned from
it. Now, the interesting aspect is I don't think it's a ridiculous list of candidates. Of the list.
And there may be other candidates.
Josh is number one on that list.
Right. And probably is going to be available. Right? Because
yes.
he seems like he wants to be here. Mayo's probably going to be available, even though you
no,
have
Mayo
him
will be gone.
In Carolina.
Mayo
as the head
will be
coach
coaching at that time. Mayo will be somewhere
Maybe.
Else.
You might be right.
Mayo will be somewhere else.
He'll be, to use your phrase, he will be a hot head coaching candidate
yes.
within a couple of years.
Right.
Yes.
So I think he'll be gone. Vrabel will be successful because it looks like if he can get a quarterback.
Especially when he gets Brady in there next year.
Right. Well, when he gets Brady. So Vrabel seems
they're house hunting as we speak.
And they seem like, all right, well, Vrabel had a good first year. So there's a chance that ownership down there in Tennessee says we want to keep this guy around for a while.
Yes.
Right. Billy O'Brien, I think, will be out there on them on the open market. So it's going to come down to McDaniels or O'Brien. And I think what will happen is. McDaniels has already got the in because of everything you just talked about, turning down the Indianapolis Colts head coaching job, and there's probably a little hush-hush, wink-wink. You're the next guy. Bill walks away. You move in. Billy O, come on. You could be my offensive coordinator.
Who's the most successful? And I know we get into these things with, you know, are they really Belichick disciples or not? Mm-hmm. Like, is Vrabel a Belichick disciple? Or is
Well, Fourier says no.
Yeah, and I would kind of agree with him because just because you played for a guy doesn't mean your whole coaching. But he also was under – coaching under Romeo Crennel for a long time, which is sort of a Belichick disciple, Tree, Parcells, that whole family. But to me, who's the most successful coach on that list that you gave?
Right now?
Bill O'Brien?
Yeah. Like, I know we like to take pot shots at him for
Josh
not being
McDaniels
able to win.
Did not succeed at all. Which is why he was available to come back and be your offensive coordinator.
Billy O'Brien went into arguably the worst coaching situation in the history of the game at Penn State, correct?
Yes.
Oh, at following the Paterno fiasco.
All that nonsense that went on.
I mean, the scholarships. And
he found success. He helped turn that program around. Yeah. And he has been to the playoffs in Houston. He's been a good coach in Houston.
Yeah, they're 1-3 in the playoffs, though, under him.
What's Mike Vrabel?
Oh, that's true.
What's Josh McDaniels?
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you.
What's Gerard Mayo?
I agree with you because
their next playoff win and their next playoff trip will be the same as yours as head coach.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you on that point. But that means Billy O'Brien has been around for a longer time than Vrabel and Mayo. Now, McDaniels was around. He had an opportunity for a couple years.
Well, I'll even add this for the Josh McDaniels thing. I think he's going to be the guy.
Yep.
It's going to be a mistake.
But how so?
For him.
Yes, I would agree with
his that. His next head coaching job, he better get it right.
And he won't. Because, you know why?
Because it'll be following Bill Belichick here.
You can't win.
You are going to fail no
you
matter who.
You can't win, Rock.
Any of these four guys is going to fail by comparison. And Josh McDaniels, his next kick at the can, if he fails, maybe his last kick at the head coaching can, he's going to probably be the guy, and it's not going to work.
But when you say fail, right? If that next coach comes in and they go 9-7, 10-6, and make the playoffs, that's not a fail. I don't think that's a fail. I think
well, if he makes the playoffs, I think that's different. If he just goes 9-7, 8-8, and the Bills go to the playoffs, people around here be like, excuse me?
Right.
Hello?
Right.
What's
so,
that now?
So I think the fail would
And by
come.
The way, he's not probably going to have Brady. We assume Brady is going to leave before Belichick
and
does.
And here's where we tie in the two issues. He's replacing Bill. He's replacing the quarterback position. And when he last tried to find a franchise quarterback, it was inarguably the worst decision of his coaching career and GM personnel career.
It cost him his job.
So, well, a few things cost him his job, but that was a big part of that Tim Tebow decision. Do you trust him to pick the next quarterback, to find the next quarterback?
But if you're saying that he might not have that power here, he might just have the power to be the head coach, then it would be whoever becomes the next GM, whoever that might be, to make that decision of, hey, who knows? Here's what we have to do. And what role is Belichick playing when he does walk away from not coaching?
None.
So you think he just clean break walks away?
Yes, I think
away?
He's gone.
Commissioner of the Premier Lacrosse League.
Any chance that...
I don't think he steps into the front office.
No.
By the way, that would make it worse for Josh McDaniels.
No, but
then he should pull a Belichick and resign as the HC of the NEP and get the hell out of Dodge.
But what I was going to say is any chance that when Bill walks away... Because, see, there's a lot of... There's like a massive... domino effect that happens here when Bill walks away. Any chance that now when he walks away, the Patriots then go, okay, we now need to start hiring, whether it's Scott Pioli, Thomas Dimitrioff. What if the ownership goes, Nick Caserio, any chance we can now hire one of those guys back?
Well, yeah, because Pioli will be here. My prediction is Pioli will be here by next spring.
So when you
Dale's
ask...
On board.
I think he's going to be here sooner than that.
When Josh McDaniels becomes the next head
Today's
coach,
Friday.
Now he's kind of deferring to the next guy that has taken over as far as the GM role and, you know, putting together the roster for the most part. So maybe the Patriots look at it like that, and Josh is... doesn't really have that stain on his new resume because, all right, we got Nick Caserio back here or whoever that may be.
But he's still part of the process. I'm sorry, if Josh McDaniels is your head coach and he is an offensive coach and he's been sort of a guru and an offensive mind, I don't care who the GM is drafting the next quarterback, you're going to assume that Josh McDaniels has a heavy influence
on
that
decision.
Well,
he has some say in it, but you think that it's going to come down to, and we've heard Parcells say this before, right? He wanted to draft, what was the year? He wanted to draft somebody else. They wanted him to draft Terry Glenn. So if you look at the GM, and if the GM is a guy that has been here before and is successful being here, and it's a Scott Pioli or a Nick Caserio type guy that they bring back, and they go, all right, well, Josh, we'll work together, but when it comes to who we're drafting, I have the final say.
There's also the question I've heard pondered, you know, would you bring back a Pioli? Say Belichick leaves, would you bring back a Pioli? Do you want McDaniels? Or there's a school of thought, nope, I want to just, we had the Belichick run. It was 22 great years. I'm starting fresh. We're going a new direction, new GM. We're not doing the Belichickian tree, and we're not trying to do
so
holdovers.
So then that list with that deal just talked about, then why that if they're going to go that way, that we should
None of these guys would be considered.
Well, maybe Bill O'Brien, and maybe you say, I was with him. If I'm Robert or Jonathan, I worked with him for a while. He really was a college coach before he got here. He has his own philosophies and beliefs. It's not just a Bill guy. Because anybody who's seen him, he's not a replication, a mimeograph of Bill Belichick in any way.
It's fair to say, and a texter points out, I can only come up with one great example of following a legend and not falling on your face.
George Seifert.
George Seifert follows Bill Walsh. Joe Montana leaves.
It's the example for everything. You had Steve Young, right?
But
you
had back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Exactly. But my point is, most of the time when you follow the legend, it's not going to go well.
Especially when you don't have a quarterback. It's one thing when you're following Joe Montana with Steve Young, and you kind of knew that, like, Steve Young was like, everybody knew, hey, this guy's pretty good.
Right.
He just needs his opportunity. It's very similar to Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, right? Everybody kind of was like, right, you know, all right, Brett Favre, go ahead, go out the door. And because we all felt, or they felt confident that Aaron Rodgers could definitely take over.
And I don't know, I mean, there's some of those examples. Do they not get the respect? Do they, like, does Mike McCarthy not get the respect he deserves in Green Bay? Because he followed
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren. So, I mean, that's a pretty good 1-2 yeah, punch there.
But it's all about the quarterback. See, that's the thing.
Right. I think the coach is irrelevant there. Right. You had Steve Young, so whoever was following Walsh was right, going to do okay because of Steve Young.
Right. It would be like, okay, in this situation here, we're all under the assumption when Belichick does decide to walk away, Tom Brady, you have no Tom Brady.
Right.
So, and who is this guy? You don't have the Aaron Rodgers, the Steve Young, and
you might
waiting,
have Jimmy Garoppolo.
But that means Jimmy Garoppolo's
got... I don't believe that, by the
that
way.
That means Jimmy Garoppolo...
Who doesn't know when I'm pushing his buttons?
It's the common narrative out there that he ain't...
But Chris means, Long believes
but,
it.
But that means he... Dale...
I don't care. I don't believe it.
That means he failed in San Francisco.
Exactly. He was either hurt again...
Right.
In which case he's brittle, or he failed...
No. Right. Oh, he'll be on the TB12 method here. He'll learn how to fall and take hits.
It.
No concussions, plenty of water, no sunburns, and lots of success.
Well, I don't know if Brady's going to want him to come here and do well, so he might lock the doors for the TB12.
No, it's perfect, because Brady, what do we always say? His best advertisement
is, him.
Is himself. Now, he's retired. His next best advertisement
somebody
would be
else,
an
Jimmy
oft-injured quarterback. He wasn't on TB12 method. He got hurt every single time he went on the field. Now he's on TB12 method, hasn't missed a game in 6 years. Boom sauce.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. It means if he's coming back here, yeah, like I said, he's failed, and it's like, I don't want a quarterback that's failed. That's, you know, or is an injury-prone guy. I might want somebody that potentially could be, and this is what I see them doing, could be like becoming a free agent and a quarterback in the league that could be the next up-and-coming thing. And
good quarterbacks don't change teams very often through free agency.
I know
you know who
don't.
You end up with? Like Marcus Mariota. There's a good chance maybe the Titans say, he's not our guy. We're going to move on. Jameis Winston.
I was hoping Patrick Mahomes.
When exactly are the Chiefs going to be dumb enough
why
to let
would
Patrick
they do
Mahomes?
That? Yeah.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe you throw more money at him.
Other than Drew Brees.
You're not going to get a chance to throw more money at him. He's not going to become an unrestricted free agent.
I know. It's wishful thinking. Just like the Jimmy Garoppolo comes back, maybe one of those guys goes, hey, Kansas City stinks. Do I really want to come back here? We can't win.
You ever hear the franchise tag? There's no chance Patrick Mahomes is going to be allowed to leave.
He goes, ever. I'm holding out. You ever see, I mean, players now, it seems like they're starting to do it more and more.
Well, this is the NBA where the players control everything?
Well, we're starting to see it. Maybe Patrick Mahomes
Wiggy.
Is... Maybe Kansas City...
You go in the other room right now and pee in a cup.
Hold on.
You just go get this over with.
Here comes your random drug test.
No, it's not... Listen.
it's not random.
No, you're right. You're sounding like you're on drugs.
What if the Kansas City Chiefs stink, right? Does he really want to play for an organization... That
he doesn't
stinks?
Have a choice.
Yeah. And by the way, why are they going to stink? No team with
if
an elite quarterback
good, they won't
stinks.
Stink.
No team with an elite quarterback
double
stinks.
Check that. Let me double check these quarterbacks.
A texter, by the way, says, I live at Penn State. Billy O'Brien is a legend here. What he did here was impressive. I have a friend who's deeply involved with the football program at Penn State, and I can tell you, they love him out
and
there.
And they should, because it's not just about football. It was an absolute, Chernobyl-like toxic everything.
It was awful.
He had to make decisions about when and how to destroy locker rooms where allegedly these crimes took place
right.
and deal with donors and boosters and the whole off the field. Forget about trying to keep players that are under scholarship to stay or find new players. Like, if you're a high school kid and Penn State's a legit option, well, then other places are options.
Right.
Why would you go to that place at that time? But he found
and
a way to bring
him
in
into
talent,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
So his ability to do all of that probably supersedes his biggest weakness right now, which is in-game coaching with big games on the line, figuring out how to win football games that way.
David's up in Maine. Hey, David, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Well, I've got a fresh take for a candidate, Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, to come back and be the replacement for Bill Belichick.
Why?
Well, he went to Assumption College in Worcester, Mass. He's got
I don't care where he went to college. I mean, why do you think he would be the guy as opposed to the four names I gave you?
Well, because I don't think he wants to promote McDaniel, because then if McDaniel's successful, people will whisper that it was really McDaniel all along.
It's not going to be. It's not going to be Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's not picking his successor.
It's not Bill's decision. It's a Kraft decision.
Well, I mean, but you don't think they're going to ask Belichick for his input?
No,
I'm not sure.
He's like,
I don't presume that. No.
Yeah, I think they'll be. This will be Jonathan's decision on his own.
But getting back to Kelly, the reason I think he would is because, again, he's a local guy. He's good friends with Belichick. He just had an undefeated season at Notre Dame, and he's got that sort of marketability, young guy, energetic. His coaching philosophy is just like Belichick's, because I played for him back in the 80s.
Right.
And yeah, they were
undefeated during the regular season and then lost in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah. So that's not undefeated.
So
regular season.
Regular season.
Patriots weren't undefeated either.
Yeah, they were in the regular season. Right. The playoffs is different.
Yeah, look, I my assumption is, you know, there have been a lot of head coaching changes in the National Football League over the last couple of years. Have we heard Brian Kelly's name attached to any of them?
And it's not the relationship. It's not the relationship with Bill Belichick. I think that you bring up a good point. It's the if he had a good relationship with, say, Jonathan Kraft, right, or the Kraft family,
exactly,
then you could be like, oh, okay, because you could say that about anybody. You know what? Hey, guess who's going to be the next head coach of the New England Patriots?
Jermaine Wiggins.
No, Nick Saban. Nick Saban has a great relationship with Bill Belichick.
But he didn't go to Worcester Academy or anything. You were from around here. I've just figured if we're going with
local guys.
Geography.
Well.
What better football mind in the greater Boston area than Jermaine Wiggins?
That is true.
Can I throw a...
I don't know if I want to follow Belichick and Brady.
I wouldn't. Probably I'd
not.
Wait.
Yeah.
Can I throw a name out there that I'm semi-serious about promoting?
Sure.
And I think it's a guy that I'm intrigued by, just total anti-Belichick in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know if he'll ever get an NFL chance. Mike Leach.
From
Washington State, Texas Tech.
My guess is he won't get an NFL chance.
He's such a wild card when it comes to his...
It works. The offense works. He finds a way to win.
At that level.
Right.
Well,
remember how it works?
You know who didn't win as much at that level? Cliff Kingsbury.
They've decided he can play at this level. You know what it feels like to me? It feels like when they tried the Wildcat in the National Football League for a while.
You know what it is, Dale? I'll tell you exactly what it is. Is when they tried Chip Kelly in the NFL.
Yeah, that didn't work.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, Chip Kelly in Oregon was like, oh my God, he's redefining, you know, this.
He did make the playoffs, correct?
He's redefining football.
Chip Kelly, that's because the narrative got ahead of the substance. He wasn't redefining football.
See, now, if you would have said Jim Harbaugh, I might have said, okay.
Well, he's already been an NFL coach, so it's not as big a dark horse.
Right.
I'm saying Jonathan Kraft, who we know is very, believes in sort of thinking ahead, looking ahead, mm-hmm. digital media and, you know, analytics and business and venture capital and the next big thing, is going to be looking for a quarterback. Part of the way to get a quarterback, there's a lot of quarterbacks that can probably play in Mike Leach's system, mm-hmm. right, coming out of the college game, where you might not need to find your Tom Brady, your pocket passer. I'm just saying, if you wanted to be innovative, creative, go in a different direction, he's also an entertaining press conference, which is the anti-Bill Belichick. You can go in a whole new direction there. Mike Leach. Leach for Patriots head coach in 2023.
Yeah,
How old is he?
I think
might
pass.
Be too old. I got to check
He
that.
Probably is. 617-779-7937. We get right back to your calls on the other side after.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Trending now.
We return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
I really believe that Gerard Mayo has everything except the long coaching resume that would recommend him as an unbelievably good head coaching candidate. And I truly believe that by the time Bill Belichick pushes away from the table, Mayo will have that as well. So I would not be the least bit surprised. I would put my money, if we were putting the odds on who would be the next head coaching candidate, I would say we got to put McDaniels on the board. We have to put Bill O'Brien on the board. Hell, put Brian Flores on the board. Put Mike Vrabel on the board. Put Gerard Mayo on the board. Those are a number of the names that I think that's five good names who would be candidates.
I'll give Tommy Curran credit here. He came up with our names, but he added one I probably should have included. Brian Flores, I mean, would be the same sort of thing as Mike Vrabel, Bill O'Brien, a guy who's left this program, gone elsewhere. Now, again, I have no idea how successful he's going to be. My guess is this year, not very. There are two teams in the National Football League who, as of today, have not yet named their starting quarterback for the season, the Redskins and the Dolphins. That's usually not a good sign.
No. If you have multiple quarterbacks,
if Ryan
you don't have
Fitzpatrick is a viable candidate to be your starting quarterback.
Well, he could win you a few games. He gets hot for a little, month here, month there.
Yeah, but he's good for like three or four games. See, the problem...
You need to know when to pull the plug.
Yeah, the problem that makes it so difficult for especially... When you think about these young coaches that are now that's what you kind of see the league going to, or just coaches in general in the NFL, the problem is you don't have much of a kind of a window, right? You have maybe a 2-year window to turn an organization around and show that you could coach there for a number of years. Think about one of the first coaches that were when they started doing this whole process, young coaches that they hired. Like a young guy who got hired, you're like, wow, this guy's relatively Mike Tomlin. But the thing about him, he went to an organization where they had a pretty good quarterback.
Right.
And where they never change head coaches.
Right.
Right.
So you need, if you're like Brian Flores, 3 years, if Brian Flores goes 4-12, 5-11, 6-10, what do you think they're going to do with Brian Flores? You think they're going to keep him around? No, they're going to be on to the next guy.
Yes.
Same with Cliff Kingsbury and this, that, and the other. So if you're Gerard Mayo, that's why I said 2 years. If you can get to Carolina with Cam Newton, maybe you can get.
Okay.
I will admittedly say he's on a fast track.
Mm-hmm.
When you go from a player to a member of the media to calling defensive plays for the Patriots, that's a fast track.
Correct.
But 2 years from that to a head coach?
Can I bring a little perspective to this? The three young coaches in the NFL, or three of them, mm-hmm. are Cliff Kingsbury.
Yep.
You know when he started coaching?
I'd probably say somewhere around 2000.
No, 2008.
2008?
So Cliff Kingsbury's been an 11-year coach. Sean McVay, 2008, okay. Been a coach for 11 years. Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, 2003, been a coach.
Oh, yeah, now, those guys are young. For some reason, I thought Cliff Kingsbury was 40.
No, Cliff Kingsbury's young. So they are hot candidates, fast risers. They have a decade of coaching experience. Gerard Mayo has how many
None
months?
Right now.
Yeah, how many months are we into this?
Yeah, but those guys, but Gerard Mayo also played, 10 years in the league, which is a little bit different than Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay.
Sure.
So that gives him the extra, that gives him the boost that he needs from not having put in all that time in.
Okay, let's go to another one, a one that we're very familiar with over the last week. The head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel.
6 years, we did that yesterday.
Started coaching 2011.
At Ohio State.
So that's 8 years, right? So you and played a decade in the NFL, but mm-hmm. still went to Ohio State, mm-hmm. went to Houston. I mean, you're talking about Gerard Mayo doing something for football?
Yes.
Basically unprecedented.
Yes.
That quick to say this guy, and it's also a little weird that...
But it's also the organization he's part of and the organization he's coaching for.
Right, the one that has yet to develop a really good head coach.
And honestly, Wiggy... What would make more sense for him is to do a Cliff Kingsbury. Go to college.
Sure.
Become a head coach at a college program.
Can you imagine him recruiting?
He'd be dynamic. He's sitting in your living room talking about how he's going to take care of your son. I'm believing him.
Gerard, you can have my son. Good luck with him. Yeah. Send him back in 4 years a better man.
Well,
probably
I think that's obviously this. I think that's there's more longevity in college coaching. We talked about that off air a little bit.
Yep.
So if you're Gerard Mayo, ultimately, What is the goal for you? Is the goal for you
Clear he wants to be a head coach?
I
would think.
But is it the NFL or being a head coach in college?
I think his goal is to be a head coach in the NFL. But I think he has a better chance of attaining that goal if he goes from here and then he goes and takes over a college program somewhere. And I mean a good top flight college program.
Yeah, but I don't know if he has a better chance doing that. That's an interesting, I'm not a career advisor type thing. Mm-hmm. But I think staying in the NFL would benefit him. And, you know, Wiggy's plan is a little fast-paced for my liking. But I think when you stay in the NFL, because now you're learning, he's learning everything NFL now, but he knew it because he was a player, as you said, Wiggy. If he goes to college, he's really learning everything. The NCAA and recruiting. And there could be some hiccups there, some step back, a little slow your roll. He's already calling defensive plays in the NFL.
But the job security for him in college is far greater than if he was to become a head coach in the NFL. Because let's say he does become a head coach. Yes.
Not in Dale's scenario. Because Dale's got him at a big-time school. Yeah. Dale's got him at...
But even then, though...
He's not going to Kent State. No.
If he goes to a big-time school, right? We just sat here and we talked about... I had pulled up Mike Leach's coaching record, right? And when you look at when he went to Washington State, which you consider a big school, right? So he's been there 8 years. And his first, his first couple years in the league, 3 games they won, 6 games they won, 3 games they won. So if he's going to a big school that the AD knows, hey, it takes time to turn a program around, he's going to get that time he needs. If he goes to the NFL, like Brian Flores, he goes down to the Miami Dolphins. After 3 years, if you're not winning, you think the owner of the Dolphins is going to go, oh, okay, don't worry, take your time. We got to wait for your recruiting class to turn around and that kind of
thing. Right.
But no, your ship, they're talking about Matt Patricia potentially being out after this season.
Right. And probably deservedly so after some of the things.
Right. So if you're Gerard Mayo and you want that job security as a head coach, you go down, you coach college, you talk about Billy O'Brien and turning around Penn State in the program. You know, and then he's recruiting guys, and granted, he might have to learn some NCAA stuff, but Gerard Mayo sitting in my living room and he's coaching me, or I'm my son is trying to figure out, and I'm like, wait a second, it's Gerard Mayo. Son, you're going to this
school.
But
you got to win.
Right. But that, I don't think, you don't have to win right now.
You got to, now Washington State to me is not a true high-end college program. It's sort of that second tier.
I agree. You think of the big. You think of
a Power Five school,
Alabama and Georgia and Michigan and Ohio State and
Texas A&M, Texas.
You think
Oklahoma, Nebraska.
You think of a Power Five school. Washington State is in what they're in the Big Ten. No, not the Big Pac-12. Right. So they're playing against USC. They're playing against Oregon. So, I mean, just a couple years ago, Oregon was one of those teams that was, arguably. So they're in one of those type of conferences that.
But that doesn't make you one of those schools.
No. But
like NC State
is in the ACC.
And they're not one of those schools.
No. Boston College, not one of those schools.
No, but if you could turn the program around like what Mike Leach did. So now Washington State is 11-2. And last year, now they've become one of those schools.
Oh, yeah. But if you don't, you're out of a job.
Right, but you don't have
to
do that in the first 3 years.
And six, there starts to be pressure, especially there because it becomes personal. If you're not in with the boosters and the money.
Right, but then
and
what you have to do is get to 8 wins. Gerard Mayo, all of Gerard Mayo has to do
is
turn the school around, get to 8 wins, get them to a bowl game, and that's a success.
But like Scott Frost
at Nebraska. One of my former teammates.
4-8 last year.
Yes.
You don't get too many 4-8 seasons at Nebraska. I don't care who you are.
Yeah,
you played there. You're a legend there.
Yeah, but he'll get,
we need to win.
He'll get plenty of time there, right? I guarantee you.
What's plenty of time?
With 4-8s, he won't.
No.
If he goes four years, he'll get at least to turn that program around.
You think they'll allow him to go 16 and...
You see from...
32.
Look at it all the time, right?
That was easier than I thought.
Well I'm going to pull up a guy. Let's see how he did when he first got to this school here. So,
I feel like we're in the ultimate coach measuring contest. We're just going back and forth.
I mean, because we're talking about Mayo and potentially what.
By the way, you looked that up. Gerard Mayo doesn't even know what he wants, I would guess, right now. Like, he may think, I want to be an NFL head coach. he doesn't, I mean, I know he went to major college football.
I was going
to
say, what if his alma mater comes calling and they say at Tennessee, hey, you want to come back, Gerard?
That's a major job, by the way.
That's a major
job. Job where if you go, Gerard, you don't get a lot of time.
No.
You better win in a couple of years or show good promising momentum moving forward. But, like, he's so new to coaching, he doesn't really, like, he'll go through this year. Maybe he goes, that was a hellacious year when I had to deal with that thing with Vinoy and then Bill was looking over my shoulder and, you know, the contract, whatever. He may say college is great, or he may say, yep, I knew it as a player. I thought I wanted to do this, but now that I've gotten a taste of it,
now I
just want a bigger bite. Yeah. This is me. This is where I belong.
Well, I did find the guy I was thinking about. And so let's say his first year, he only coached 7 games, 4 wins. Second year, 9 wins. Then his third year, 6 wins. Then 10 wins after that, and that would be Dabo Sweeney. So he got 3 years to kind of maybe build a program. And where'd Mayo go to school? Mayo went to Florida?
Tennessee.
Or they just hired a new coach there.
They did. He could be gone in a couple of years, so it may be available. Because that's how it works at those places.
They crank those out of there pretty quickly. Michael's in South Boston. Hey, Michael, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
I want to offer my 2 cents on Belichick and Brady, and then a quick question to Wiggles. I think they both saved McDaniels last year for making a huge mistake, but I think he follows Caserio out the door. I think he's gone after this year. I think Belichick's going to be around. He's going to pick Brady's successor, and whoever comes in to coach is going to have to follow with that, and I think it's O'Brien. And to Wiggles, if Gerard Mayo is a head coach in 2 years, is it because he's skilled or is it because of the Rooney Rule?
I think they both go hand in hand. I think the Rooney Rule helps him, and I think
it gets you the interview. It doesn't get you the job.
No, it doesn't get you a job, but it definitely helps you, right? So that's part of it. And then if he performs well, because we see what he does here as no titles, just a guy that's calling plays. But the rest of the league sees him as the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. And that's what the owners see him at. And so they're like, not only can we get a guy who's been successful, you know, obviously if they are top five defense, played in the league, has a good relationship with the players, they speak highly of him, and he falls into the Rooney Room.
But if you're a good owner, the black part is just gravy.
Yes.
Because if you hire a black coach who sucks, no one's happy.
Right.
You don't make any money.
Right.
You hire a white coach who wins, no one says for very long you didn't hire a black coach. You know what I mean? It's all winning. It's got to be a good coach.
But it's just, you know, it plays into
it's a little PR, spin.
It's a percentage of the pie. So
until you go 0-2 to start your first season, get blown out, and people are like, I hate him.
Right.
I don't care.
Just don't fire him after the first year like you did Wilkes in Arizona.
That's a bad look.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy and Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Together now. Remember? You suck. I mean, that's the whole thing. I don't know if
these are our listeners. Do we want to tell our listeners that they suck?
It's part of the song.
What song is
it? It actually was never part of the song. Oh, this is Kurt Angle's.
Oh, okay. Is this what
entrance music? Yeah. And every time they'd get to that part of the song, the fans would all chant, "You suck."
That doesn't make it okay. You know what they chant at the Garden when they blow a call?
Wait a minute. You're now telling me what's okay?
What do they yell at the Garden when they blow a call?
The BS thing.
Yeah. Can I say that too?
No,
Dale, that's what they say. Some of the music Wiggy listens to, the Jay-Z music, there's lyrics in there. Can I say it?
Oh, you can't say it, but I can.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works.
I don't think that's fair.
Speaking of head coaches, did you see what happened with Freddie Kitchens and the Cleveland Browns? They're holding joint workouts this week with the Indianapolis Colts. So evidently, before practice yesterday, Freddie Kitchens told the Browns, "Don't back down from these guys." So there was a whole bunch of fights out on the field. Smart, huh? Attaboy, Freddie.
Well, you should never have... Is it skerfuffle? I thought it was kerfuffle.
Skerfuffle.
He's making up words now.
No, I combined two words that are appropriate. Skirmish and kerfuffle.
But isn't it kerfuffle?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So,
see, now I'm really confusing Wiki. He's kerfuffle.
Like, you got him, you know,
these are words that I don't use.
Is it Dale and Keith or Dale and Keith?
Either one.
Learned really quick. Do not fight at practice.
Well, he's in effect telling his team. And they took him at his word and went out and started a bunch of fights.
No, right. Like, you learn as a player, like, that's the worst thing you could do. Because guess what? Unless his helmet comes off.
Right. You're going to break your
head. You lose.
Right. You're not doing. The one fight I got into, I said, I'm not hitting this guy in the head. So I went to the body with a 2 or 3 piece.
We just don't want any punches thrown.
Yeah. That's what Vrabel said. Those weren't fights. Yeah. You've never been in a fight. If you think that was a fight, there were no punches thrown. Which is smart.
It's
no one needs to break
face,
a hand.
Face mask.
Right. A little pushing, a little shoving.
I was with the Jets in my rookie year, and I believe it was Fred Baxter, who used to play tight end here, got into a fight with somebody in practices, punches him in the helmet, boom, breaks his hand.
It's so dumb.
That's it.
It really is.
Go to the body.
Well, that's why I was questioning what Freddie Kitchens
is
thinking.
Go to the body.
Yes.
I'm questioning what Freddie Kitchens is doing. I guess he's trying to develop some sort of toughness, some sort of, okay, you can do that without telling them, hey, don't back down.
Right.
Right.
And they go out there and start
punching people. Wait till after practice and your helmets are off. Then you can have feel free to fight then.
He's calling for post-practice melees.
No, I didn't say melees.
Then go break his face.
But if two guys
break his eye socket.
If two guys have an issue, no, you let him get a few.
Settle it like men. You want to meet in the parking lot too?
If that's a fight to you, man, you've never been in a fight.
That's probably the smartest place to fight. You really don't want to fight on team facilities because you're going to get fined and all that.
I wonder when the last time Vrabel was in a fight was. A fight that he is actually considering. A
probably
long
Tuesday.
With
Hayes. No, a long time ago. I love Vrabel for a long time ago.
How many people really get in fights all the time?
Not many.
No, like.
Not many.
There's like what I used to, Paul Perillo used to get offended. I called him Everett fights where, you're lucky he's holding me back.
Yeah,
No one's really throwing
those days are long gone.
Even you say that, and he's Mr. East Boston.
Yeah, those days
he's
are
the
long
guy with the bloody two-iron
right
in his trunk.
Well, those days
mini
are long
bat
gone.
Oh, okay.
A gun.
The fighting days are long gone. Now it's, you know what, you're getting shot. I'm good.
Well, no. You are doing that.
Maybe we should go back to fighting.
Well, it'd be nice to go back to fighting, but now these kids nowadays, these young, they don't think about that. They can't fight, so they go run and grab a gun or a knife.
But I'd much rather
Uncle
get my
Jermaine,
ass kicked than
Uncle
die.
Jermaine is not advocating that you shoot someone,
No. I would much rather you see if you had an issue. Hey, I like two kids meet at the schoolyard, settle it, you know, the right way, and that's it. We
have a debate.
Yeah, we handle this thing until somebody's calling in the dogs. They can't, they're shaking. That's what we know. All right.
You'll be shocked to hear this, but I've never been in a fight.
Never ever.
Wow. Well, I'm not counting your brothers.
No,
I mean,
right. I mean outside
of my brothers.
Yes.
No.
So you've never either thrown a punch and hit somebody in the face or been hit in the face with a punch?
No.
Really?
Wow.
Jesus.
Not even with Eddie Annemann in the old days. Huh?
Right.
No.
Wow.
No, I didn't.
Not once?
No.
You wanted to.
Yeah,
no.
I just wanted to.
That was a long pause, Dale.
But the other thing that I think a lot of people think about is if I do get into the fight, that means there's a chance I could be hit.
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing you're like, yeah.
No, I think it's a probability I'm going to be hit. It's not a chance I'm going to get hit.
Dale's lack of self-confidence is the issue here.
I'm almost assured of the fact that I'm going to get hit.
You know what I always feared? You ever see those random, like, not outside the lines, but like somebody threw one punch and the guy fell down and hit
cracked
his temple
head,
and died?
And died
like,
or
oh,
something. Oh,
that's always the risk that you run.
See, that's it.
I'd like to avoid that risk.
But that's a sucker punch.
Well, no. Sometimes you drop a guy and you see these things, and he hits his head on the corner.
Did you see
or something?
It yesterday, and I hated to even see it because when I met him and when I talked to him, I actually liked him. Did you see what Conor McGregor did?
Yeah. I did not.
He's at a bar in Ireland, in Ireland, and he owns this whiskey company.
Yes,
proper number 12.
And so
is it good?
He sets up glasses on the bar, and he wants to give everybody in the bar a shot. And this one fella in the bar takes the glass and sets it aside. And I don't know the words that we couldn't hear the words, but in effect, he said, no, I don't want one. And McGregor set the cup back in front of him, and he's pouring shots for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the guy takes the glass, and he sets it aside again. McGregor punches him in the face.
No, well, that's...
Because he didn't want to drink his drink?
And how are you going to turn down a free shot?
This guy's got to be like 50, 55
yeah,
years old.
Well, maybe he's like, you know, a recovering alcoholic of 30 years.
Well, what
I'm assuming
he
he's not
in a bar.
Pub, but...
He can't go hang out with his boys?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea, Andy, if you're a
He's testing himself.
Well, wait a minute. You can't say, no, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it, but no, I
don't know if
you know, Conor McGregor not likable.
But if the guy's been drinking, though, do you really want to turn down a, like, you know, that's disrespectful to turn down a guy offering you a shot.
No, it is not.
Now that I think about it, maybe the guy did deserve it. I mean, he ate it. I'm not going to say that he ate the punch. He didn't go down. He kind of like, you know what, all right.
Yeah, it actually didn't even really faze him very much. But
that's sort of embarrassing for
Conor McGregor.
Well, that's probably because he was drunk out of his mind. So why not take the shot? I'm giving you a free shot here.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.